The book is good. The zombie takeout is evil. The zombie takeout shoots seeds that face new life, the voice of the earth, the plague of men, as it once was.
Welcome to episode 39 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scotto.
And I've been waiting for this one ever since you suggested it.
I know. This one has had quite the build-up between the two of us, at least.
Yeah, because I can't wait to hear what you thought of this one. We are talking about, from 1974, Zardoz, featuring Sean Connery.
Yes. Well, let's start with, I guess we should just cut right to the impromptu.
Go right into Scotto's impromptu plot summary. This week brought to you by the textile and garment industry, makers of clothing. It was invented for a reason.
Not to hang on walls?
Yeah.
Okay.
I thought you were going to take that one.
Well, I did. I guess I was a little late. So anyway, impromptu plot summary here. Actually not as difficult as it would seem, would it?
Okay.
We've got the future, where people, or where, I guess, red men, I don't know, panties.
Scantily dressed men.
My apologies, that was the line that I saw on the IMDb reviewer, red
man
panties. I cannot take credit for that.
Okay.
I guess we can't name the episode that either. But
no,
anyway.
No.
We have this group of exterminators. Mm-hmm. They are they wear red underwear,
mm-hmm.
And they're mostly dressed like, you know, the stereotypical Mexican bandits.
Well, it's red loincloths, a pair of bandoliers, and if I recall correctly, thigh high boots, which are
just
a fascinating combination.
And then, of course, to top it off, you have the ancient Greek comedy tragedy mask.
Mm-hmm.
that's what those red things they were wearing.
Yeah, effectively.
They would wear those in ancient Greek theater to convey emotions. One side would be, you know, rage.
Oh,
the other side would just be speaking.
It was one side was tragedy or was comedy. I didn't notice there was a back to them.
They were different. One was
kind
of shout, and one was just kind of normal.
Okay.
They definitely did use them in that manner, where they would change emotions by changing the mask.
Okay, I did not notice that.
So I recognized that right away, going, well, okay, that's odd.
Mm-hmm.
One of them decides to sneak into the Godhead, which is the originator of the line that we used at the beginning of this show. Probably some really bad special effects. I was waiting for Michael Palin to come out at the beginning to say...
Oh, yeah.
But so one of these exterminators sneaks into the Godhead, and he comes back into their little utopia that they've created. He's not one of them, but is he? He learns I don't know what he learns from them, but he learns the way things work there.
Mm-hmm.
And
he learns everything by the end.
Right. They teach him everything in the end, and it all came down to some elaborate plot to pretty much end life as they knew it.
Yeah.
So.
Is that
in a very abstract way.
Yeah.
Play-by-play as usual, but you really can't with this.
No. Effectively, and I may be risking a bit of a spoiler on this one, but I'm not going to hint at what the spoiler is. Well, it should. Anyway, I'm not going to...
This is one of those movies where we could tell them everything.
Yeah, I could completely spoil everything.
And you still not going to believe
prepared.
It when it happens.
But this is basically... My takeaway on this one is... What if Terry Gilliam directed a sci-fi version of The Wizard of Oz for Cinemax?
Wow. Wow. So yeah, remakes and sequels, you've kind of jumped ahead there. But my opinion of this though, I mean, I went into this expecting a horrendous movie. I mean, how this came about, there was an article on Newser, I guess, which we should try to find and post,
Okay.
that had good actors in bad movies, and this was Sean Connery's, good actor in a bad movie. But if you watch the movie, his acting, meh.
His acting was meh, and well, not to give too much of, well, I can,
That's a technical term, by the way.
yeah, of course.
Meh.
I kind of liked it.
I
I
did
like
too.
this movie. I'm just going to put that out there off the top.
That's just where I was going with this too.
Okay, okay.
I came in here expecting something horrendous, because Sean Connery's been in bad
Oh,
movies.
yeah.
Bad movies that I've seen. I
Oh,
mean,
Entrapment?
Highlander 2.
Okay, better.
Highlander 2 makes this look like The Godfather.
Yeah.
I mean, I mean, it's not even as bad as Medicine Man, for Christ's sake.
Wow.
So, I mean, it doesn't even come close to Highlander 2, not even Troll 2. So,
No, of course.
what are they talking about?
And that's the thing about this movie is, underneath it, it's actually a really interesting story. Slightly cliche, but still really well done. The acting is scattershot.
Right. The acting is very suspect, and for most of the players involved.
But the thing you got to get past is it just gets incredibly trippy at points.
Oh yeah, definitely. But I mean, once you get rid of the flying head and you shoot Arthur, who, I mean, why you would put such a bad actor in such a pivotal role in the movie, beyond me.
Although I did learn something very important from his opening scene, like at the very, very beginning of the movie.
Right. What?
There's a good reason actors are taught not to look directly into the camera. It is creepy as hell.
Well, yeah, and of course that's what he's going for a
Oh,
lot
of
of this.
course, of course.
He's going for the creep factor. Why the marker bearded
That I
mustache
never got.
is, I mean, I'm sh maybe he was playing some other role and he couldn't grow a beard for it, or I don't know. But he just wasn't good. He's probably one of the worst actors in this
Yeah,
film,
yeah.
and that's
That's saying something.
in quite a bit, actually. Now that all being said, the script here is brilliant.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, as this went on, and I was expecting just, Michael Palin to say it's, the messages that came out about, the evils of colonialism and the disconnection of mankind to its primal self.
And just the fact that there is no such thing as a utopia, which is the slightly cliche part, but very well done.
Well, right, exactly. And you know what? I think for 1974, I don't think this was a cliche.
Well, no. I mean, that all goes back to Huxley, but,
Right.
this is one of the, may have been one of the earlier movies to rip it off.
Right. And how many people were talking about DNA in
Well, that's
1974?
true. That's true.
When they said that, I was just like, wait, did they just say what I thought they said? Like,
Yeah,
how many bring that back? They put this on the worst movie list, and they're talking about DNA in 1974? What? Star Trek wasn't even talking about that. They had the eugenics war, but that wasn't talk about, use of DNA.
right.
Eugenics goes back to Hitler and just, breeding tactics, techniques. So, wow. I mean, the script, the concepts he had were just stunning in this. He just had some bad actors to deliver his message, and some pretty bad special effects too.
And costumes that were basically borrowed from a production of Hair, I think.
Yeah. I think that hit it. So yeah, and of course, Sean Connery. What more do we need to say about him, huh?
Well, and this could be a plus or a minus, getting back to our sponsor this week, it should be mentioned, you know, from the outset, he spends 90% of this movie, that's an overstatement, I'm going to say 70% of the movie, in the exterminator costume. So
why is 90% an overstatement?
Well, he does have more on at the end.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Okay. Yeah, you're right.
Say the last 10 minutes, he is wearing more. But, you know, the rest of it, he's just in the red loincloth and the bandoliers and the thigh highs. I really didn't get the thigh highs.
Well, anyway.
Just so you should know that in the outset, if that's a good thing, okay. If it's not, be wary.
I saw some interesting trivia on this earlier before we started. The thing was, he was having trouble getting work after leaving the James Bond franchise.
I have that
franchise.
Too, yeah, yeah. So he was really cheap.
In fact, they didn't even, you know, he didn't have money for a driver for him.
Mm-hmm.
So he drove himself, and he gave him, like, some of the driver budget. It's almost unthinkable these days if you think about that for a star like Sean Connery.
Yeah. Speaking of these days with Sean Connery, the aging at the end, did you notice it was actually very accurate at a couple of spots?
Oh, it was. He looked
like that
from
now.
Highlander. And then it's, there he is now.
Yeah. I mean, the only one that I didn't really, you know, you don't really know was the last one because he's not that old yet.
Yeah. He's not a skeleton yet.
Well, the one just before the skeleton with the long beard and...
Right, right.
He's not quite there yet, but the rest of it
he's close.
Is really accurate.
He's damn close.
Mm.
So, did you have any other trivia on this? Or?
Well, just a couple of things. The radio spots, which are available on the DVD, were narrated by Rod Serling, which I think was just a fascinating combination.
Yeah, agreed.
I really would like to hear those. And...
picture, if you will, a world where a man should put some more clothes on.
And one last bit of trivia, that I think would have made this the movie you were expecting to a further extent. Burt Reynolds was the original choice for Zed, but he had to bow out due to illness.
Can you just picture him, like, chewing the gum?
I've been trying to picture him.
I was born ready.
I really tried to picture Burt Reynolds playing this role, because I read that before I watched it this time. And
does he drive a Trans Am?
Instead of the horse, it's a Trans Am, yeah. It just wouldn't have worked.
The cowboy hat would have made the outfit.
Oh,
that's
of course.
That's all they were missing now that I think about it.
I mean, yeah, Connery's acting wasn't, you know, his best, but God, that would have been hideous.
Yeah. Yeah, watching Burt Reynolds try to act. Although,
there is one scene, that, and this kind of amused me, that I would have really thought was funny with Burt Reynolds doing it. They're a little ambiguous about sexuality in this
right.
in the future. Including Zed, which who most of the time you assume straight. But at
right.
one point, Friend, who is, well, shall we say, the most ambiguous, puts his hand on his shoulder. He licks his hand for no apparent reason. Completely out of nowhere, meant nothing, ultimately. It just made absolutely no sense.
Well, I thought he was just, you know, playing the part of the animal.
Oh, okay, I get you, yeah.
That's what I thought.
Mm-hmm. And one more bit of, with regard to the licking. It wasn't quite the orgy scene, it was a little before that. No, it was before the touch learning scene.
Yes, boys and girls, there is an orgy scene.
Yes, There are many, many breasts in this movie.
another Richard Coyle moment from Uncle John.
36 That episode isn't out yet, so they don't get that reference.
Oh, that's right. That's the lost episode. That's terrible. I forgot about that.
At one point, they decide, for some reason, they lick Zed's finger. And it's like ecstasy, practically.
Oh, yeah, yeah, we're there.
I don't know if he got cut and it was his blood or just his sweat. I'm not sure. I wasn't clear on that, but yeah.
I was a little confused by that, too, because at first I thought it was his blood,
mm-hmm.
and they were passing it along, and it was just his his testosterone, I guess.
Perhaps.
His, you know, but I mean, it was just repeating the message that these people have lost what it is to be human. You know,
effectively, yeah.
And that's why there's all the sex. There is a point to all the sex in the movie.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
They talk about what it is to be human: eating, sleeping, and sex.
Yeah.
And I guess there are some other things,
and the violence
being human, but
later.
Yes, and the violence. but that's what they're talking about. That these people have lost, and it's because they've lost death. They've, you know, messed with the circle, if you will.
Yeah.
And so man, when they had the scene though, where they had were just, you know, they had the poor people locked out, you know, and they were just kind of there, you know, at their feast and stuff.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's, I mean, it's like, did he have a crystal ball? Did he know what the future was going to bring? Amazing stuff.
Now, there were some inconsistencies with the future, though. Well, one major inconsistency.
What's that?
Okay, they've got all this technology. They can transmit thoughts. They, you know, yada yada. They're still stone grinding wheat.
That was weird. Yeah. That was very strange. They didn't have the technology to make, you know.
They have hologram projectors in rings. They're still stone grinding wheat.
Right. They didn't have things to do, you know, menial labor. Which is pretty much the downfall of our society.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, there was an inconsistency there. And, I mean, some people think that, you know, it's you know, portable devices to get all of our information from. Does that sound familiar?
I also forgot how to spell in the future, apparently. Now, this was a minor thing. I don't know if you caught it.
I did.
When he first gets to the Vortex, which is where all the immortals live, he stumbles upon a list of, effectively a shopping list, what each section needs and can spare. Carrots was spelled K-A-R-R-A-T-Z.
Right, and there was all sort of misspellings.
There were others, okay, that's the only one that stuck out for me.
There were a number, and I'm wondering why. I mean, you never really get to why. Is it just that language changed so much over time?
I kind of took it to mean that, because obviously they didn't forget how to spell. I think he was just making a point about a very subtle point about the evolution of language.
Right. And that's the only thing I could think of. Either that or it's a European thing, because this is, you know,
yeah, it's
Ireland.
An Irish film, but I don't think they sell it that differently. I mean, there are subtle differences, but
I had another. But, and
it was
funny.
If it was Carrouts, okay, it's a European thing. But
yeah, I'm not really familiar with John Boorman. And of course, when the name came up, I'm like, wow, you know, that's not a very good name to have for this. This is all right at him.
He's done a couple of other known ones. I'm remembering one in particular, which really doesn't help his case. Point Break.
You know what? I wasn't even thinking of that, but there's a couple things going on here. This was another trivia thing was that this was a rebound for him because he wanted to do
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings.
That would have been very interesting.
Yeah, and Sean Connery was. You know, they wanted him
deep
to
at
play.
The time. Yeah, Gandalf.
No, and they wanted him to play Gandalf in the current ones, the most recent ones.
Okay,
he was one of the choices to play it, and he passed on it. From what I understand.
I personally think that's our gain, but
he passed on Lord of the Rings, and he passed on Matrix. And he said that's why he took League of Extraordinary Gentlemen.
Oh wow! Yeah.
Someone doesn't know how to pick a script still.
Someone maybe has a bit of Ben Kingsley-itis.
But here's something that does not help Borman's case. And if you want to take a really bad movie, Exorcist 2.
Okay, I didn't see the second one.
Oh my God. Maybe that's something we should save for another episode.
Okay.
Because quite horrendous.
Ah.
He also did Deliverance.
Mm. Yeah, that was the one I couldn't think of. Yes. Which, I mean, if you know, go like a pig aside, it's a very well known, you know, a lot of people love that movie. It's held up, you know.
Hey, you know, there are references to that movie that are made.
Oh,
you know,
daily.
Yeah.
Especially
here in Barnegat.
And honestly, it's one of the creepiest films of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
You mentioned The Matrix a bit ago.
Yes.
Now, when he gets inside the crystal, did that not remind you of the whole architect thing in The Matrix?
I skipped the last two
parts
of that trilogy. I checked out of the first one. So, you know, that's a good movie. Let's leave it at that.
Ah. Yeah, you were wise to make that decision. There's a scene where he gets inside The Matrix and meets with the architect and the white room with lots of monitors. And that scene very much reminded me of it. I think they kind of borrowed it.
Yeah, and there were some awful scenes toward the end. That are you talking about the scene where everybody was making faces into like a video monitor, and they were putting it up onto like a wall, projecting it? A
little after that.
Okay, because that scene was awful.
It's just after he tricks the the artificial intelligence? I'm forgetting the name, but when he tricked it into the diamond.
Oh, yeah, they might have just called him Death, or I don't know what he was.
Mm-hmm.
He was the Tabernacle.
The Tabernacle, that's it. When he tricked the Tabernacle into going into the diamond.
Yeah.
He somehow ends up in the crystal. Which is, once again, I say trippy.
Right, and it was a lot of funhouse mirror stuff that mm-hmm. was like, you know.
Well, just the idea of going into the crystal, it's just...
And I think... I think this is a good segue into remakes and sequels, honestly.
Well, I was just I have a few more points before we get into
okay. That.
You've talked about how, you know, people who don't do drugs make movies about drugs, you can always tell.
Yes.
This is a clear case of people who really know drugs making a movie.
Yes. Yes, these are people that know it like the back of their hand.
And just there was one other, actually one of the few low points for me. Not a minor thing, just a you know, little nitpicky. He's given this leaf that he's supposed to eat when he needs a boost of adrenaline, energy, what have you, strength.
Yeah.
When his strength fails him, he's being chased. He eats it, and then he hides. Being chased, you know, he pops the leaf, you know, you're thinking he's going to do this insane, you know, feat of strength. They're chasing him down a road.
I'm sorry.
He just hides on the side of the road. He completely wastes it.
I hadn't thought of that, but that is so true. All I'm thinking is, wow, you know, another Campbell reference of, you know, the talisman, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And he takes it, he eats the can of spinach, and then he just kind of wanders off. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, shucks.
And there was also just one last bit of, point I have in my notes.
Okay.
During the, again, I'm referencing the touch learning scene, which is one of the high points in terms of the trippiness. And it's just fascinating. There's a reference to the unity of opposites, which really kind of hits home the whole point of the movie.
All right. Bring us up to speed here.
Well, just the unity of opposites where, you know, you have the you know, in the, how should I put this, impotent intellectual vortex who, you know, has lost their humanity, and then the exterminators and the brutals.
Okay.
You
I can see that.
And ultimately, they come together. I just, that line stuck out, and I realized it kind of foreshadowed the ending of the movie and kind of the whole point of it, is you need both sides.
Yeah.
Because Brutals just had the gun, and were killing each other, and they had no knowledge, and then you had the vortex, where they had plenty of knowledge, and they couldn't reproduce, and, you know, were bored as hell.
That ending, though, man, that is the trippiest damn thing. I don't know. It's really up there with the trippiest things I've ever seen shot on film.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about the aging sequence. I'm talking about the people wanting death.
Yeah.
I mean, that
Just
was.
before the aging, yeah.
Yes, that was messed up. There's no mincing words there. That was. I mean, you're just watching it going, oh, how are we even supposed.
Arguably, that could be the second orgy scene in a certain light.
Well, right. And then you're like, how am I supposed to be reacting to this? How am I supposed to feel about this? People just getting killed, like all over the place, and they want it. They like it. And it's just, I mean, there's a band playing. Yeah, it's crazy. Insane. You just got to see it for yourself. That's all I
Yeah.
got to say. So,
Under me, sequels and remakes, yes.
yeah, you blew my great segue into remakes and sequels.
Okay. Roll it back.
Well, anyway, we were talking about some of the special effects and stuff, and I think this movie has to be remade.
Okay.
I mean, not we've done some like, oh, they can't touch that one, or
Right.
oh, you know, this could use a little bit
No,
of.
and this isn't one of those seminal classics like a Big Trouble or a, Buckaroo, where it has to be remembered as is. I mean, this will be remembered as is, but a lot of it is maybe for not for the right reasons.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you put together some good special effects and some better acting,
Yeah.
this movie would be incredible. I mean, it's not going to have the same impact because it's not 1974
Right.
anymore and we hear DNA on a daily basis. Maybe they can adjust
Update
a
the
couple.
science a bit, maybe make it a bit more accurate.
Maybe.
Take out the bloody crystals, because that irritates me. Whenever they can't figure out a way to do so, to, kind of, on paper, logically get past a certain bit of science, they always throw in crystals.
'Cause it's crystals, man, and they do things, man. No, this has to be remade.
Oh yeah.
This is like a mandatory. They've got to remade. And you brought up Gilliam at the beginning, and I couldn't think of a director. Why didn't I think of Gilliam?
Actually, I just thought of somebody who might be a little better. I'm blanking on his name, but Fight Club. Who did Fight Club?
I don't know, but I was thinking of Ed Norton as Zed, possibly.
Or Pitt.
Yeah, you could get away with the Russell Crowe or Brad Pitt
No
narrative.
Russell Crowe, please.
What, making music, making movies, fighting around the world?
Just irritates me. Robin Hood looks really good, except for him.
It looks like the Gladiator, only in.
Yeah. And who else? Okay, so we got either, well, any of those three would work. I don't know if Norton is really, although I was going to say tough enough or rugged enough for Zed, but I'm forgetting American History
American
X.
History X?
Yeah, I forgot about that one. Okay.
Dude!
Yeah. What about, okay, here's the interesting part. Friend. Who do you cast as Friend?
Oh, man. That's a tough one. Hopkins. No, because obviously he'd be Consuela.
Yeah.
Now, now the obligatory joke has been made.
Yeah.
We must move on.
But real seriously, Friend is a tough call.
It is. You could do a number of actors in there. It's a really good
Ah,
role.
I got it. Bruce Valanche.
I don't know about that.
Was a joke. But I
Carrot
did.
Top.
Oh God. But I just know. I just figured out who has to play Arthur Frayne.
Somebody better than
Well, of course. Well,
do
that's
they
just
have
about
it?
anybody, but Spacey.
Oh yeah, there you go. Spacey as Arthur Frayne. Awesome casting.
And what the hell? Let's just put in, Matt Damon. There we go. As Fred.
Not bad. Affleck or Damon as
Yeah, I was
friends.
gonna go for Affleck initially, just as a joke, but I thought of Damon, and he does fit it better.
Either one of those guys would fit in there. Not bad. So yeah.
And everybody else is pretty much a placeholder.
Who do we campaign to get this movie remade? I mean, why not even Tarantino? I mean, he hasn't done sci-fi yet.
Interesting.
And who else would handle trippy violence better than Tarantino?
This is true. Tarantino could work.
And as, you know, one of our listeners had suggested about Tarantino doing
Big Trouble.
Big Trouble, I say you put Gilliam on Big Trouble.
Oh, God.
And Tarantino
on
this
one. Wow.
Yeah. There's our movies there, folks. There is our movies.
And sequels are a moot point.
Yeah.
Because they're just basically, I mean, the characters, it's a moot point because they age them, you know, to skeletons, and they have the next generation, and they just kind of work their way back to normalcy.
Well, they're Adam and Eve is what it comes down to in the end.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, until I read the Wikipedia article, I didn't really get the handprints on the cave wall, and that they say they're resembling the primitive caveman drawing.
Ah.
Like, it just all starts over again.
Okay, I did not pick up on that, nor did I notice it on Wikipedia. Okay. I did notice that the director thought that the novelization was better.
You know what? I would read this book.
Yeah, I kind of would like to as well.
And I would read it, and wow. So, I think that brings us to brains now, does it not?
Okay. I'm going to go 4.5.
Yeah, I am at 4 myself.
Okay.
I think they are, I mean, some of the acting, or most of the acting is suspect. I think Friend is the only actor I really...
Who really tries, yeah.
Do I really, you know, liked out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the effects were just too distracting at some points, and some of the set just got in its own way, too.
That's its flaw, is it does get a little... I mean, I appreciate the trippiness, but it gets goes a little too far at points.
But you take... even if the trippiness went too far... I could forgive that.
Yeah.
The other thing, I was going at 4.5 originally, and then I found out that this had $1 million budget for 1974.
Oh, okay. I'm gonna hold it 4.5, even still.
So, I mean, if they, like I said, a remake of this would definitely be a 5, though, no doubt.
Although, it just occurs to me, there is one issue with the remake, at least going as a literal.
What's that?
When's the last time a movie has come out with that much nudity?
I don't know. Who cares?
Yeah. I kind of would like them to keep that aspect.
But not Sean Connery.
Well, not the Louise, but, you know, that. Anyway, I'm not going to have another Quayle moment.
All right, so what have we learned this week?
I learned that when you can't come up with a good idea, insert a crystal.
Oh, I'll just leave that one alone. When you can't come up with a good idea, put some red panties on it.
Yeah. So, until next week, when we will be reviewing The Return of Captain Invincible. I almost blanked on it for a second.
Bring in the pain.
Oh, yeah. Well, you thought we were bringing the pain with this one. Maybe the other...
But we're saving it up for next week.
Yeah, I don't know. I've seen a clip. I'm hopeful. Until then, go to zombietakeout.com. Please comment. I'm not even going to list everything else. Just an appeal. Please comment.
Well, we had one on Facebook.
This is true. Jeffrey Bayard, I'm guessing
that's
on the pronunciation of the last name.
I couldn't remember his name.
Yeah, thank you for that. So, yes, just please comment until next week. And until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Zardoz has spoken.